Hey, thanks so much for joining us for another episode of the Tree of Life Church podcast. It's our prayer that these messages help connect you to the life, love, and power of Jesus.
So, hey, listen, kind of how we got here today. So here we got today was really a journey that we've been on since the first of the year, honestly. It doesn't always work this way. I don't think it always just necessarily falls in line and sequence, if you will. But I feel like God's just been setting things up each week, each month, as we're now into the third month and what God has for us. And we started with 21 days of prayer and fasting, and nothing happens without prayer. And wow, it was probably one of the most powerful 21 days of prayer and fasting I can remember. And I believe it's just because of our heart and intent to press into God, and because of our obedience and faithfulness, God's just doing things and working things out. February, we spent time, as we do, talking about what we were able to do through generosity the previous year because of your giving and serving, and then the opportunities that are afforded to us this year as the Lord laid out some things that we've been believing for years, and some things that are just new on our heart. And then generosity plus opportunity equals destiny, and just this really compelling feeling that as a church, to be a tree of life to a lost and hurting world, especially outside these four walls, and to get out into the community and reach people. And then it just was laid on my heart the last weekend when we had our Unity March, that really, honestly, nothing happens if we're not united. The enemy tries to divide, and I think it's important for us to really celebrate, protect, champion our diversity and our unity. And here's what I believe. I believe we are united around a purpose. And so I think sometimes talking to other pastors, when there's disunity in their church, I don't think it's a people problem because you have such diversity. I think it's a purpose problem. Because God unites us around something greater than ourselves, and he brings the diversity of our gifts and experiences and background together so we can accomplish more. And so I felt it was important for us to address that this last week, and I appreciate Pastor Dave did a great job, and I appreciate him sharing his heart that Sunday as well. And so today for me, it's like moving on then into this next place as we're getting ready for Easter. And the number one question I get from people as we're developing and growing in our relationship with God is this: how can I hear his voice? How do I know he's speaking to me? I mean, I want to do what God's asking me to do, but how do I know it's God? How do I know it's not me? How do I know it's God? How do I know it's not me? How do I know it's not the world? How do I know it's not the devil? How do I know it's not the tacos I ate last night, right? Late last night, right? And I want to help us figure that out. Because in order for us, after 21 days of prayer and fasting and God just preparing and positioning us, stepping out with some vision and purpose, then we need to know what he's saying to us individually. We need to hear his voice. And that's what we all want to do. It's the number one question I get all the time from people. How do I understand or know what God's speaking to me? And then I heard this story, this fact, if you will, again, at the conference, and they were talking about noise. They titled the series Background Noise: How Do You Hear God's Voice with All the Noise? And they brought this out in the meeting. They said, you know, from the time that digital sirens were put on fire trucks, that they've had to increase the volume of the siren 4 times over the years because all the outside noise has increased. And so all the noise around, right? So more cars, more people, more activity things, it's getting louder and louder, and all kinds of things contribute to that they've had to intentionally 4 times over the years increase the volume because the volume out there has gotten so great. Can I tell you that just is the same for you and I? The volume around us is just increasing. And it's not because, you know, it's not just the car next to you when you're at the light, right? Thank you for sharing that rap music with me. That's a blessing to me right now, right? So the volume around us just increases all the time in things that we're doing. But also the volume on the inside of us has increased. How many would agree? I mean, the reality is, even just since, let's back it up, just not too long ago to COVID. And then because of the isolation, all that, we're talking all the volume, our emotional volume has increased exponentially. It's like someone just took the dial and dialed it up a bit. And we see that in so many ways. It comes out mostly probably in our emotions, but all those things contribute to noise or distractions, things that might hinder or keep us from hearing what God is speaking, because God doesn't necessarily speak out here, he speaks in here. And so, I mean, we just can't focus on the outside noise and distraction, but what about the inside noise? What about what's happening and going on in your life? And we're gonna take these next 3 weeks, this week and the next two, to talk about that, and how do we combat that? How do we work through that and find what God is speaking to us? And let me start by saying this: God is speaking. Aren't you glad you serve a speaking God? I mean, we celebrate a powerful God, right? I'm thankful. He's the healer. He's powerful. Signs, wonders, and miracles. That's. I'm thankful for forgiving God because I'm not perfect. None of us are. And I come here, thank you. I'm repent, Father God. I love you. I'm thankful for a God full of grace. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a joyful God. And I'm thankful for all that. But what about, are you thankful for a speaking God? Amen. And even when you think he's silent, he's not. And because the reality is, it's God does not have a speaking problem. You and I have a hearing problem. That's just reality. That's not a negative on you and I. It's the world we live in because the volume outside and inside have increased exponentially. It wasn't really even easy before, but it sure gets more difficult now. There's so many more distractions, and we could talk for a long time about the internal emotions and anxieties and depression and fears and all the things that we see and experience that happen and affect us inwardly. But the truth is, the good news is, God is a speaking God. So let's start in Luke 13:8. We've been here before. It was a few weeks ago, and this scripture really jumped out of my heart as we were looking at this year and we were talking about this passage of scripture. I don't want to take too much time on it, but from the context of, here's what God wants to do. He wants to get you this year. There's something more he wants to do so we can produce more. And I really felt that this scripture addressed where we're going to head this series. So here's what it says, Luke 13:8. Sir, the man replied. The man replying is actually the vine dresser or the gardener, which we know in the story, the parable is Jesus. And he's addressing the owner who is God. And they're talking about the fig tree who is you and I and not producing. And so God's like, if it's not producing, then we need to do something else with it. And the vine dresser, the gardener, Jesus says, well, hold on a second. Give me a year. And we talked about that. We talked about from, hey, give us a year and let's really dig into God and see how much more we can produce this year. And he says this to the owner of the garden. He says, leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. He's talking about the soil around the tree, and the soil represents in scripture our heart. And I thought about that for a minute, and I thought about the vine dresser, the divine gardener. Jesus is telling God, give me one more year. I need to be able to dig around their heart a little bit. The ground has gotten hard. It's gotten cluttered with stuff. I need to dig it out, and they need to pour some stuff. They can't hear what I'm trying to give them because there's too much dirt. There's too much hardness in their heart right now. And so I thought, wow, this is where we need to start today. Because in order for us to really hear from God, we need to prepare our heart. And my hope in this message today is it sets us up for what God wants to do and speak to us the next couple of weeks. And so I think it's important to start there. God wants to, we need to break up the soil. We need to get some of the dirt out. We'll talk about that in just a moment because he's always speaking. He's always pouring in. John 10:3-5 really is our foundational scripture for the series. It says this, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. The shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He leads them out. He knows your name. Aren't you glad? And he knows your name. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them. Aren't you glad that your good shepherd goes on ahead of you? He goes on into your tomorrow. He's on later in your today. He goes before you go to work. He goes before you go to school. Come on, somebody. He goes before you go to wherever you go. He goes before. The shepherd is going before you. I love that. And he knows your name. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will not follow the voice of a stranger. They'll not follow the voice of a competitor. They'll not follow a competing voice. And there are a lot of competing voices and noises. In fact, they'll run away from him, the stranger, because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Sheep have this innate ability to hear the voice of the shepherd. When you say yes to Jesus, automatically, because of the change on the inside of you, your nature, and how the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, you can hear the voice of the shepherd. And we have to work through the noise or the background noise and able to discern what his voice is because we have a speaking God. And if you picture it in the natural, and I would love to take time, maybe tomorrow, next week or the week after, we'll spend a little more time about the idea of shepherds and sheep. And they can have these sheep pens, and we'll talk a little bit next week where they'll keep 1,000 sheep in there and there'll be like 10 different shepherds. And they don't have to separate the sheep. All of a sudden, one of the shepherds will come in and make a certain call and all his sheep will follow him. The 100 will leave the 900 to follow. And if they cross paths on a road or in a field and the sheep might intermingle, once the shepherds go their separate way, they'll make a call and their sheep will follow that shepherd. And that's the picture, and it's a beautiful analogy of our shepherd leading us. And you need this dynamic in your life. We need this for him to go before us and to follow him. And can I say it also? You need him before you answer that email. You need him before you post on social media. Amen. You need to hear God's voice to make better decisions. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 message paraphrase says this. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen to God's voice in everything you do. God is speaking in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who'll keep you on track. I love this. The way this is worded here, because we think we have to come here or come to our prayer closet or our quiet place or Sunday morning to hear God. He's with you wherever you go. And everything you do, he is speaking. He's there always. Again, God doesn't have a speaking problem. We have a hearing problem. And so we know he's speaking. Luke 8:8. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the last of that verse, and we're going to get into this passage previous to this verse, but whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. You have ears to hear, so hear, right? It's not a speaking problem from God. Why isn't he speaking to me? And God's like, you have ears to hear, hear, right? You have ears to hear, hear. I love this thought here because God is always speaking. I can always be hearing. I mean, really. If I learn how to discern his voice among all the other things that are speaking to me. So I have the ability to hear the voice of the God wherever, whatever I'm doing, wherever I'm going. And so it's like, if you could just cut through all the noise, you realize that God is speaking a whole lot more than you think he is. And so when we look at Luke 8:8, it actually is the end really of a story. And so I wanna go back to the story that Jesus shares. And so Jesus is gonna share a story. And then we get to the end of this verse right here. And then he's gonna pick the story, he's gonna retell the story and then tell us what it means. And they're all connected, and I think it's important so we can find some principles here and how to discern the voice of the Lord and cut through all the background noise. So let's look in Luke 8, we're already there, and let's start with verse 5, because we ended at verse 8. Let's start at verse 5, and then let's let him retell the story to us. So here's the story. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell along the path and it was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns which grew up with it and choked the plants. And still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than that was sown. And when he said this, he called out to whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Interesting is Jesus is talking about this story. We kind of think of it in different terms, like what we do, what we sow. But can we think of it in this term today? Because I believe the context here is the soil is your heart and the seed is the word of God, or it is God speaking to you. And so it's important for you and I to prepare our heart because it's the condition of our heart that enables us or positions us to hear the voice of God. And that's important for you and I because we think we have to be at different places or whatever. No, your heart has to be at a different place, a different positioning, a different understanding of what's happening and how you can address the issues in our heart, which what that does is make the voice of the Lord more clear in your life. And we saw that seed was stolen. We saw that there was competing things to the seed. Rocks were in the soil as well. We saw that the seed was choked out or wasn't growing. And we saw that the seed was received. And so again, it's not that God's not speaking. It's just, it's not landing in the right place of our heart. Because the seed is sown. God is speaking. The difference is the soil, or the difference is the condition of your heart. The good news is, that is something you can control, right? And so let's take a look. And so he retells the story and explains it. And so let's take a look at Luke 8:11. Here's what he says, in case you're wondering. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God, by which we would say, that's right, it's my Bible. And understand, back in that day then, they didn't have a Bible. It was God speaking to him. And you realize, I hope this morning, that the word of God, the Bible, is God speaking to you. It is his voice as well. And so we can take from that, this whole parable, the analogy here being used is that the soil is your heart and the seed is God speaking to you. And so there's four different scenarios we saw, and let's look and find ourselves so we can get our hearts prepared and have better ears to hear. So let's move on now to Luke 8:12. The next scripture says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Now understand, we might say it this way, the devil comes to steal the word away immediately, right? That's kind of the known way. Cliche, it's true, but you know, the enemy comes immediately to steal away the word. And you know that because you can come to service and hear a great message as you always do here. And then you can, thank you. And then you get in your car and by the time you got home, it's all just been blown up. The guy cut you off and you know, you ask God to take him on to heaven already and I'm out of my way, right? Or your family, all of a sudden, like you're on your best behavior because you're in church and you hear a great message, but then you get in the car and pick it right back up where you left off, right? What's the enemy doing? He's just trying to pull that seed out. He's trying to pull that voice of the Lord. Whatever God spoke to you, he's trying to get in there and dig in there any way he can. Why? Because he doesn't want you to believe, because then you get saved. And I'm not just talking about your salvation experience. I'm talking about saved from whatever you're facing, whatever you're walking out in life. And so the enemy comes in immediately, the scripture says here, to try and pull that away. And every time God is trying to speak to you, the devil's trying to get in the middle of it so you don't receive it. And so let me give you the first condition of the heart. This really could speak to the polluted heart, or in other words, the heart that's been cluttered, the heart has dirt. Going back to our Luke 13:8 analogy, all the hardness in our heart that the world has come in, the dirt that we've allowed in, the dirt that we've put in there, and our heart clouds or dirties up or hinders our ability to hear. And God is trying to speak, but we have junk in our heart and we need to get the dirt out. I don't think we understand how important that is. To make sure that, you know, there's even a passage in scripture that talks about, I should have put it in here for you, that says, before you go and pray to the Lord, if you have something in your heart against a brother, you need to go deal with that. Otherwise, your prayers are going to be hindered. What is he saying? He says, the condition of your heart can hinder your ability to hear from God. And so there's things in there that we need to be aware of so we can deal with them to get the dirt out of our heart, because the enemy is trying to put dirt in our heart. So no matter what God's saying, the dirt takes over. And dirt gets in our heart one of two ways. Number one, you put it in there. The choices you make, the sin that we engage in. Now listen, we all sin and we all fall short. There's no condemnation here, and certainly no one's pointing fingers at anybody. But some of us have sin we've not dealt with. So it's really not even the fact that we sin, because we do, right? But the Bible says to be quick to repent about that. But it's the unrepented sin, right? That we allow to stay there for whatever reason. And we know, we feel it. We know what that is. And maybe it's been so long it's become part of you, but the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. But listen, there's times and things that we just need to stop. And can I just be honest? We just need to stop and repent. Forgive me of that, God. I need to get that dirt out of my heart. Get that out of me. So we don't carry around guilt and shame, because guilt and shame will keep you from hearing the voice of the Lord. And the second part of that is it's people. Amen, Pastor. I should have got a big amen. Amen. I'm telling you right now. Amen. Truth right there. It's people. And isn't it true that anytime that you try and draw close to God, the devil will try and stir things up relationally? 21 days of prayer. Did you do 21 days of prayer and fasting? How were your relationships? All right. All of a sudden, my wife and I are fighting. We don't fight. You know, my best friend, whatever, my kids. It's just, the enemy's just trying. And you know, it's not even really whatever it is between you and the person. It's the enemy trying to keep you from hearing from God. He wants to keep your heart cluttered, polluted. He wants dirt clogging their ability to hear from God. It's not even really a person. It's that he's using relationships to be able to stir stuff up in you so you cannot hear from God. And we have to understand that. This is the devil's attempt to get in the way of you hearing from God. A few weeks ago, I was faced with I had a really hard relational moment and something that happened a while back. And something happened, and I was in that place, and I was just reminded of it. It was just right there. And all of a sudden, all these hurts, and I was, for days, I couldn't believe it. For days, I was mad, I was sad, I was sad, I was mad, and I couldn't believe I had given that many days to that. And I thought, finally, after a few days, I thought, oh my gosh, that is so still in my heart. I got to get that out of there. Because it's just keeping me, hindering me from receiving and hearing what God has for me. The other person has gone on with their life, but everything, that's not even me. That didn't even happen that way. And it's just like, but man, it just consumed my heart. And in that moment in time, I realized I can't let that sit there because it's just gonna hinder me from hearing from God where everybody else goes on with their life and you're still wrestling, struggling with the things that we've allowed in our heart. It's important for us to understand that. We have to realize how important our heart is to hearing from God. We have to deal with stuff in our heart. James 1:21, New Living Translation. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God that has planted in your hearts. Accept the word God has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls. So let me say this morning. I want to share a word with you. It's not when we don't like. I'm a little hesitant to use it in this capacity because it just comes up a bunch of emotions and I don't want to stir anything up this morning. But it's a word that I think is so misunderstood, and it's a word that we don't want to hear. We feel like it's judgmental, it's critical, and you know, it's used in a way to speak down to us many times wrongly. But it's really a powerful word. Honestly, it's really a word that will give you hope and help for the future, and it is the word repent. Yeah. We think it's like this critical judgment. You need to repent or you're going to hell or something like that. Right? It's like this. Do you realize what you've done? Repent. Can I say this morning? Repent simply means turn around. If you're going the wrong way, turn around. And start going the right way. There is not a more freeing word in Scripture than repent. Right? I don't know. There's very few as powerful as that word, honestly. Because it gives you the ability to turn around when you come to that mindset. You know what? I'm just going the wrong. The other day, my wife and I were going somewhere, and she's like, you're going the wrong direction. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Let me turn around. Hey, you're going the wrong direction. Turn around. Oh yeah, okay, yeah, absolutely. Don't sweat it, turn around. Amen. Don't let anybody beat you over the head with it, turn around. Right. It is a powerful, hope-filled, faith-filled, victory-freeing-filled word, but you gotta do it. Yeah. Yeah. You just need to turn around. We can't begin something new until we turn from something old. Amen. The second type of soul condition we find in Luke 8:13. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. It's awesome. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while and then they fall away and they face temptation. The second type of soul is the distracted heart. There's something competing with the seed. Something else is competing in that moment. The distracted heart. Listen, distractions can even be good things. It's not a bad thing. Like we're distracted by good things all the time, maybe even more than bad things. It's just something that grabs your attention and God is talking, but there's something competing. There's competing voices and it could be a number of things. Can I just tell you this morning, my biggest distraction in life is not this, but it might be yours. It's this right here. Because the reality for me is my phone is off all the time. That's never on. My wife gets so frustrated, she got me an Apple Watch. You never have your phone on. It's always on silent. So I'm getting you a watch and don't touch it. So it buzzes when it's something. So I look at my phone, now I know that, you know, to look at it. It's funny, but it's like, but it's taken over my life. I mean, just the other day, Saturday morning prayer, I had so many notifications and I can't help but we're in the middle of prayer and I'm looking at my watch and I even think about to Pakistan. I was in Pakistan on stage in front of 100,000 people in the middle of preaching, and while she's translating into the Urdu language, my notification comes up, and I'm like, "Oh, news break!" Right? I had a memorial service 2 weeks ago, and in the middle of it, I just automatically look at it. I'm like, I get distracted because of this watch, and I don't know what that's like for you. I'm not on social media. I'm not on it. Thank God that changed my life when I got off all that. By the way. But if there are things that are competing with your time and therefore your emotions, and mine is this watch, it's gone off several times already, and I'm trained to look at it. I try and look at like oh, yeah, like, yeah. And then I got sleeves that are too tight and won't come off the watch, and I gotta, you know, figure another way out to do it. I can't figure out what's going on. It's a distraction. And my prayer time, my quiet time, my reading time, it's always there. I have to go in those moments now without my watch, but then my wife can't get a hold of me. I don't know. So I'm just being vulnerable here, and you know, confession is good for the soul. Bad for the reputation, but good for the soul. It's like, okay. I don't know, what is that for you? I don't know. Here's what I do know. The biggest distraction for kids 8 to 18 is this. statistics say 7.5 hours a day, 7.5 hours a day are spent on a phone by kids 8 to 18. You want to talk about distractions in this world. That may not be yours necessarily. And it may not be the watcher or something, but there's things that are vying for our time, competing voices in our life, and we have to learn how to navigate those, and we have to find a way to be able to get beyond those distractions. So I brought this morning. I'll put this out on the table if you want to look at it later. But it's a paper Bible. I mean, it's pages and it's a paper. And so I had this in my office. I got this out and I start trying to read this more. Because when I'm on my phone, read my devotional, a notification is going to pop up. And then I'm going to just swipe that up for a second. But then I'm out of the flow right then, right? I'm just like, so I honestly have got this out. And then what's great about it, I've had this Bible for a long time. I have so many things, and I'm reading things that I highlighted before and not speaking to me in a different way, right? And I'm looking at things, I got sticky notes in there, and it's like, it's amazing. I'm purposely, intentionally going into my devotional time and spending time reading my paper. What a novel idea. If you don't have a paper Bible, go to the Welcome Center, we'll give you one. But you gotta find ways to eliminate the distractions, because it's keeping us from hearing the voice of the Lord. All hell's trying to keep you from God and hearing from God. It's competing things and their distractions. Let's take a look real quick. Luke 10:39 through 40, real quick, says this. Here's a story that illustrates this well. Jesus is coming over to the house where Mary and Martha are. They are the sisters of Lazarus, his friend, who's just raised from the dead. So here's Jesus, and he sits down, and she had a sister named Mary. So Martha had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was continually listening to his teaching. But Martha was very busy and distracted with all of her serving. Can you know even good things can distract you? We spend time serving God sometimes instead of being with him. And we'll substitute that out. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're gonna hear him better. All the serving and time's distracting. You just need to find time to be with him, draw closer to him so that you can hear his voice. In order to hear God's voice, you're gonna have to turn down the world's volume somewhere. Something in this world has to be shut down so you can have ears to hear. Luke 8:14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on in their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Now listen to this last line, and they do not mature. Wow, that's powerful. Now Jesus is explaining the story here, and he says that there are weeds will get in the way. How do you guys know? You don't have to try and grow weeds. Right? I mean, you try and grow and kill everything else, but you can't kill a weed, right? It's like can't get rid of the weeds. A weed, really, if you're looking at a place, there's a lot of weeds, really would speak to neglect, right? Like something like neglect. Well, that, they don't take care of that, or that's, how did that happen? They weren't intentional with what they're doing. And I think the same thing's to be true. The picture of the weed here is a lot of times it's neglect. Neglect what? Neglect in our own heart. So number three, the soil in my heart, this represents the immature heart, because he says it at the very end, you're not mature, immature heart, because you've neglected your spiritual growth. You realize you have to intentionally grow in God? There's things that you have. That, you know why we offer so much around here? Not just to keep you busy and out of trouble, but so you can grow. So we can grow. That's why I went and took Pastor Dave, Pastor Cody with me to New Mexico to these meetings, so we could grow. You have to be intentional. You just can't coast. You just can't ride it, because with that neglect, if you will, on your spiritual growth and development, weeds will develop and choke out your ability to hear the voice of the Lord. And if I could say it this way very lovingly, the reason why some of us aren't hearing God is our spiritual immaturity. I want to say that nicely, but I don't know how to get the point across there. And God is saying maybe that you need to go a little deeper this year. Grow a little more this year. Because he wants to have conversations with you that you're not able to understand. Take another step. Around my house, my wife and I, we have lots of conversations. We talk about money, we talk about the house, we talk about what we wanna do, where we wanna go. We have adult conversation. Can I just say it that way? We talk about a lot of things that need to be talked about. We have adult conversation. And then I have this wonderful, amazing grandson named Raiden, Raiden Hayes. That's his country music name, Raiden Hayes, right? He's a country music singer. Raiden Hayes comes over and everything stops, right? It's all about, right? Come on, grandparents, right? When the grandkids come over, it's like, oh yeah, stopping everything else. So Raiden Hayes, the other day I felt like he needed a T-ball and a bat, right? And the box said 3 and up, and he's 18 months. I said, oh yeah, he needs this. He's advanced. He's my grandson. He's advanced. So I get it out and set it up, and actually the T's as tall as him. And the red bat's too heavy for him really to do a whole lot with right now. And so here's Raiden in my conversation the other day. I'm like, Raiden, no, right here. Raiden, ball, ball. Okay, get no bat, no ball. Raiden, no, over here. Raiden, no, come on. Raiden, bat, hit the ball. No, not, don't hit pops, hit the ball. Bat, Raiden, ball, Raiden, no, okay, get it. No, put it back. No, come back, over here. Raiden, oh, no, ball, right here. Bat, hit the ball. Snack? Okay, come on, let's go, right? It's like, now we're on the same level right there. I'm like, I am certainly capable of having more adult, intelligent conversation. But that's the level he can receive at. It's just true. It's nothing to feel bad about or mad about. Don't hate the messenger, right? It's just like, what level of conversation can God even have with you? You're wanting maybe a deeper level of conversation, but you can't receive it because you've not grown spiritually to that place. Amen. It's not a speaking problem, it's a hearing problem. But let's just be quite honest, sometimes we can't hear because it's a mature problem. It's a maturity problem. That's why you need to get in a small group. Why do you have all those small groups? So you can grow and mature? That's why, ladies, you need to come Saturday morning. So you can grow and mature. That's why these things are here, because we have to grow beyond where we are. God is certainly capable of much more complex and in deep conversation, but you can't receive it. So it's not that he's not speaking or wanting to speak to you. It's your level of maturity that hinders your ability to hear from God. And you can't blame God, because God speaks. So we can't blame God. I know that's probably hard, but I just want to say snack. Snack, anybody? Snack? Man, I should have had snacks available for everybody after service. That was a tough one. But we need to be able to communicate at a growing, progressive, maturing level with God. I mean, we do. And that's what you can control. That's why growth track, next steps. You got all these class, got to go to all this stuff. If you want to grow, I think it's important for us to understand that, you know, like this morning, I know it's hard to get up and go to church every Sunday. I know, I have a hard time with that. I know it's hard to serve because you want to be in service and it's easier, right, to come and go. I get that. It's inconvenient sometimes. I know it's hard to find another night of the week to go sit around with a group of people you don't even know. I know, I get that, but you know what? That's what mature believers do. I don't know how to say it, but that's part of your growing and maturing in the things of God. And if you want to hear the one who's always speaking, you need to grow to another level to hear what he is speaking. And so you have to deal with that. You have to work that out. So if we get dissatisfied with the level of communication God has for us, maybe we just need to grow up a bit. Maybe we need to mature a bit. We don't do things just to keep you busy. Believe me. We don't want to be busy, but we do things to help you grow so you can get closer to God, so you can hear him better for you and your family, so you can block out all the background noise that's competing. And you have to start by preparing the soil of your heart. And listen, I'm just trying to help those who have ears to hear. That's all I'm trying to do. It's important for that. And it takes discipline. And it's on us to grow up a little bit. And then God gives us more and more adult conversation. Hebrews 12:1-2, God's word translation. Since we're surrounded by so many examples of faith, they're everywhere, we must get rid of everything that slows us down. Let go of all the things that are holding you back from growing and maturing in God, especially sin that distracts us. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. We're always growing. We must focus on Jesus, the source and goal of our faith. He's who we want to communicate with. That's not everybody else on here. It's this way. And we have to grow and mature in that. Keep your focus on him. So take time this year and say, I'm going to go to that ladies' breakfast. I'm going to get in a small group, growth track, next steps. I'm going to serve. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to volunteer for Easter. I'm going to go to Tree Marrieds. I'm going to grow because we can all grow and we all can mature. I want to read that. Guys, could you put that scripture back up again? Put Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 back up again. Now listen, I'm going to highlight a few words for you. Since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. We must focus on Jesus, the source and goal of our faith. You're not going to grow and mature by yourself. You're not. That's why you have to serve with a group of people. You have to get in a small group of the group. You have to attend and interact with people because God designed it that we grow together. So if you're just by yourself, you're missing on growth opportunities. So we need to mature. So maturity comes from when we stop making excuses and start making changes. So take this year. Luke 8, 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. This is the soil of the prepared heart. The prepared heart. God's voice is most clear when your heart's prepared. And so we need to do what we need to do to get the dirt out. We need to do to get eliminate the distractions. And we need to do what we need to do to, number three. I just spoke on that. To mature and grow, right? That's why I was trying to forget that one right now. We need to do that because God's voice is most clear when our hearts are prepared. So get your heart prepared. Let him break up the ground around it. Let him help you dig out all the dirt and the hard soil, get closer to him. And so going back to an earlier comment, it begins with repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:1, we're going to close as the worship team comes out. We're going to close on this passage of scripture. 2 Corinthians 7:1 in the Message paraphrase. With promises like this to pull us on, dear friends, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. Let's dig out all the dirt. Let's eliminate all the distractions. And let's do the things we can do to grow and mature in the things of God. It begins, hearing his voice and all the background noise begins with a prepared heart.
Thanks again for joining us this week. We pray that this message encouraged and inspired you. If you want to find out how you can be a part of Tree of Life, just go to our website, treeoflifechurch.org. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and share it with a friend.